Can say that today. You're not what you were before, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When I got saved, everything about me changed. I hadn't arrived, nor have I arrived at this point in time in my walk with God. But I can tell you, I ain't like I was. I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not like I was. Praise God. I thank God for the blood. I thank Him for His mercy, for His sanctifying work that continuously works on me. He doesn't throw me away. He keeps working on me, keeps sanctifying me, setting me apart from this whole world. If I'll keep that heart of repentance and I'll have that sanctifying attitude, and that is, whatever you want, I'll do, oh God. Everything's going to be all right. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to dismiss all of our children from age 5 to 12, Children's Church. If you are not coming to our Wednesday night services, you need to be at these Wednesday night services. We have all of our classes we dismiss after the song service, so we have classes for all ages, and then the adults, we stay in here and preach the word in this sanctuary. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. I'm going to ask you to stay with me very closely throughout this message to really get what I'm going to be ministering to you about today. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfected, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the written word of God that truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay this morning. I pray that you would make me as an oracle of God to speak only the things you'd have me to speak. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint every ear that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us. I pray that you would change and transform us by the power of the Spirit and your living word. Lord, I'm asking you to do these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on a thought that you hear me talk about a lot. You even hear me use this phrase. I'm going to preach to you on driven by eternity. Driven by eternity. The word eternity is, in my opinion, one of the most important and most powerful words in the human language. Why is that? Because it speaks of everything having to do with us when you talk about eternity. The word itself causes me to stop, to make myself begin to reflect, to analyze, and to bring into reality what is really going on. Ladies and gentlemen, we were created in the foundation of God's mind before this world was ever born. We were created in His mind to worship Him, to love Him, and to exalt Him for all eternity. Listen, it's all about God. It's all about what He has done in us and through us in the light of eternity. Here, the life here on earth is not all it is. There is an afterlife, my friends. So many times we think this is the here and now, and when we die, we're going to go to heaven, and we want to go to heaven. We just don't want to go today. Well, I can tell you, we all find ourselves in that dilemma because we're so temporal-minded. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not what it's all about. This is a very small fraction in the light of eternity. Listen, in all of the choices that we make on earth, we'll determine our eternal destiny in this life and the afterlife. What am I trying to say today? That you and I will choose heaven or hell? Well, preacher, I choose heaven. Well, praise God. But I can tell you it's much more than just lip service and saying, I choose heaven. It has to do with every choice I make. It has to do with everything I do in this world. Listen, everything in this life is preparation for that life which is to come. Oh, listen, you don't go to purgatory. That's not in the Word of God. When you die, the tree, we are trees of righteousness or unrighteousness. When this tree falls, wherever it falls is where it lies. There is no doing over. There's no going back. And we're going to choose life or death, heaven or hell. We choose our destiny in eternity. The Bible does not give us a lot of information about heaven, but it gives us a little bit. I love to think about those gates of pearl, those walls of jasper, the streets of gold. But I don't think too much about those things. I think about Jesus. Why? Because he is the light and the Lamb of heaven. But Revelation says a little bit here in Revelation 21 and 1. He says, and I saw heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and he will be their God. And listen to what he says in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. This is in heaven. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's what heaven's going to be like. But our finite minds cannot even begin to wrap around the goodness and the greatness of what heaven's all about. But the Bible says much more about hell in the same verse of, in the same chapter in verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. The Bible talks a lot about hell, even three or four times as much as heaven. Herein you can find different places. It talks about the torment. In Mark 9 and 43, it says it's an unquenchable fire. In the book of Luke chapter 16, it talks about memory and remorse. In Luke 16, again, it says it's a place of intense, unsatisfied thirst. In that same chapter, it talks about the misery and the pain. In Luke chapter 13, describing hell, frustration and anger. In Revelation 21 and 8, in the verse I just read, it's an eternal separation. Jesus himself described hell as a place where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a terrible place to go. And the Bible says hell is enlarging itself daily because men are making choices to reject God, the love of Christ, and they're choosing this world over God. Well, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I choose Christ 1,000 times over. I thank God that he has given us an opportunity to escape the damnation which is to come. Oh God, help us today to get our minds off of the temporal things and to begin to be driven by eternity. Eternity, that word, it gets a hold of me, driven by eternity. The word driven, it means to propel, to guide, control, or direct. To be driven, to be controlled. I want to be driven by God, ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is driving your life? Because everybody is driven by something. Some are driven to make more money and to climb the corporate ladder of life. Some are driven just to get out of the house, so they turn 18 years of age and they think they got the world by the tail with a downhill pull. I got news for you. You talk to some of these 20-year-olds that now have to pay light bills and the rent, all these things. Some are driven by just getting more and getting ready for retirement. Listen, we are so blinded by the temporal things. Oh God, I pray today that you would open our eyes and let us see with spiritual eyes. Listen, every one of us are one heartbeat away from eternity. We are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised to live to be 80 or 90 years old. I've got to live every day like I'm about to face Almighty God. I want to be driven. I want to be motivated by eternity. What motivates you this morning? What drives your life? If you're not driven by eternity, I pray that every single one of you and those watching by Facebook would get something in their spirit today. Your eyes would be open. Your minds would be illuminated that we're right around the corner from eternity. How long is eternity, Brother Matt? My mind can't wrap around eternity. My finite mind cannot wrap around eternity. Let me just say it like this. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a million trillion years, and then eternity would begin. You can't comprehend eternity, neither can I. The truth is, eternity cannot be mentally comprehended. Our minds are finite, prohibited from grasping perpetual or everlasting concepts. I don't understand how God's always been here, how he doesn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an ending. I don't have to understand that eternal concept. I just know the Bible says he's always been. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. Okay, hear me today. Allow me to illustrate an everlasting concept. Take a moment to imagine where the end of the universe is. Have you ever seen pictures of the universe? And you can only see just a very small area past the earth, stars and galaxies. I want you to think for a moment about the outer limits of our galaxy. If you can, then what do you find on the external boundary? When I look at the planets from our telescopes, which I don't look through a telescope, but the pictures, it mesmerizes me. My mind begins to think about what they say, how many planets and galaxies and the billion stars out there. Think about, what is the external boundary? Is it a wall? It's not a wall. If it was, how thick is it? Would the outer side of the wall be the exact point of the end of the universe? Come on, church. I'm telling you, our minds could go on and on and on. It almost give you a headache trying to figure this thing out. Well, you can't figure it out. Neither can I. I just know that God holds everything in the palm of his hand. He spoke me into existence. He spoke you into existence. He formed you in your mother's womb. And he loves us with an everlasting, never dying love. I'm going to tell you, my God's a good God. He's an eternal God, and he has put eternity in every one of us. Eternity. And here is the thing about eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:11. The Bible says God has put eternity in our hearts. He's put it in our hearts. I want you to listen to the Holy Ghost this morning, but I also want you to listen to your heart speaking, because it resonates when we hear the word, when we think of the concept of eternity. As we look at our text this morning, we see it's very clear Paul had a revelation of eternity. We see that Paul says that he's basically in a race. He's depicting this Christian walk, this journey, as a race. But it's not just a journey. It's not just going through the motions or just going on a road to everlasting life. Paul is in a race and he's pushing. The Bible said that I press toward the mark. That mark is something that we are to attain. We are not saved by our own works. We are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you show me your faith by your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead, James says. I'm telling you today, there was a mark that he was pressing towards. It was something God had for him. I press, he says. I press. I'm moving towards something. I'm going to be single-minded. I'm going to get my mind on it. I'm not going to let anything stop me from doing what I know I am to do. Listen, this man had some type of a revelation. He knew something that other people did not know. I believe that he had seen something. His mind had been opened up by Almighty God in the light of eternity. And he was driven like a wild man. He was passionate. He was driven. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I forget the past. I don't look behind me. What do most counselors tell you to do whenever they're counseling you? I've heard psychologists, they want to find out about your past. They want to try to tap into something, and that's the reason why you are today. Well, Paul said, I'm not going to worry about that. I was a sinner. I've had pain, but I'm going to forget about those things, and I'm going to be a single-minded man, and I'm going to press. Somebody in this house today needs to get single-minded, and you need to make up your mind, I'm going to press. I'm amazed at how many people I meet constantly who base their lives on what's not eternal. They're blinded. They're blinded by the God of this world. I see them racing towards judgment. They laugh. They party. They skip out when it comes to the things of God. They do not care about the things of God. The God of this world, the Bible says, hath blinded their minds. It seems as if they're oblivious to the fact that there is an afterlife. Well, I want to tell you something. There is an afterlife. Oh, the Word of God says there is an afterlife. Oh, people inside and outside the church can become oblivious to the afterlife. Don't become oblivious. Listen, every one of us, if the rapture doesn't take place, we're all going to be in a casket one day. We're all going to be in a casket. There is an afterlife. And I want to make sure that somebody didn't lie to me and say this is okay when it's not okay. Listen, I would rather live so far away from the line than risk my eternity. You know, every once in a while I'll ask somebody, now, are you sure about this? I've been to Six Flags before. I'm not crazy about Six Flags. I'd rather take a whooping with a belt than go to Six Flags. But I'll get on these rides. I'm like, hey, are you sure this thing's going to hold me in? Oh, yes, sir. Well, listen, that's something that I'm talking about, the natural life and my natural safety. But I want to know. I don't want to depend on a preacher or anybody else to say, oh yeah, that's all right. And then I face Almighty God and find out it's not. What's at stake, preacher? My eternal soul is at stake. I want to live according to the Word of God. Preach the truth to me. Tell me the truth. Listen, when you know the truth surely will set you free. When you know the truth, it'll set you free. So many inside the church and outside the church ignorantly allow things to come into their life. They appoint the appointed judgment to hasten towards them is happening, and they're not even investigating their lives. They've taken false hope in concepts that are not found in the Bible. Do you hear me? A false hope that is not found in the Bible. Some think God will take into account all the good that they've done. And if it outweighs the bad, they will find favor with God. That is not founded in the Word of God. Like there's scales that if I've done enough good, then the scales will tip in one direction. Others who profess a new birth experience have thought they will stand before Jesus as judge because he is their Savior. They believe they're exempt from any form of judgment. Listen. Peter said judgment must first start in the house of God. Paul said he could preach to others and become a castaway. We must not be ignorant to what the Word of God says. There will be stunned men and women, and I personally think there will be more professing Christians than unbelievers who are shocked on judgment day. Are you with me today? Stay with me. I believe there's going to be shocked professing Christians on Judgment Day. Why? Because they believe something that they were told by men are what they've conjured up in the natural mind. I've heard this until I can't handle it anymore. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I get sick when I hear that kind of stuff. I'm like, what is that based on? Where do you find that in the Word of God? And they say, well, I can't tell you where it's in the Word of God. It's just what I believe. Let me tell you something. This carnal mind, Paul says, is enmity against God. It's not subject unto the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Whatever you think and what you believe is nothing. It is false. Let every man be a liar, but let God be truth. What I want to do is base my belief system on the Word of God. I'll never forget when I worked at Frito-Lay, probably 15, 16 years ago, I was off in Mineola at a grocery store. It was a Cottonwood grocery store, way off in the country. Y'all know where that is. And I was putting chips out, and they were talking about abortion, and this lady behind the counter said, well, I believe it should be a woman's right to have an abortion. And I turned around. I just can't keep quiet, you know what I mean? I turned around and I said, ma'am, that's murder. And the Bible is very clear about how God feels about shedding of innocent blood. And she said, I don't care what God thinks, and I don't care what the Bible says. I felt cold chills running up and down my back. I couldn't believe somebody in East Texas, out in the country, would say something like that. But let me tell you something. She said, I don't see anything wrong with it, and I don't believe like you. I said, you don't have to believe like me, but you better believe just like the Creator of life believes, or you're an enemy of God. Here's what I say all the time. Let every man be a liar, but the Bible says, but let God's Word be truth. It doesn't matter what you think or what I think. All that matters is, thus saith the Word of the living God. And my thinking, my belief system must line up with the Bible, because the Bible is right. Oh, I'm telling you, every jot, every tittle, every period was placed there by Almighty God, and the Bible is right. It is a living Word. I'm telling you today, we've got to cling to the Word of God. Sex before marriage. I'm just going to just name some things right now. You don't mind if I meddle a little bit, do you? If you're having sex before marriage, the Bible says you're a fornicator. And the Scripture is very clear that you will not enter in the kingdom of heaven. He says it in Corinthians. He also says it in Revelation 21 and Galatians chapter 6. Hear me today. Sex is only for marriage. Amen? Well, we're dating and we're going to get married. Let me tell you something. You're still in sin, just as if anybody else that meets one night stand is in sin. The Bible says it's sin. The Bible says it's wrong, and it's still wrong. Am I preaching the truth to you today? Whatever the Bible says is where we better line up with. White lies. What about a business transaction? Well, I've got to kind of twist the truth a little bit in order to close the deal. God understands, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. Revelation 21 and 8 says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. Oh, what about all the loose living and all the things that we allow in? We have no convictions in the modern churches today. You know, there was a time that we spent so much time in a personal prayer closet that God can speak to us, and we wanted to be separated from the world. We didn't want to be anything like the world. God would deal with our heart, and it wasn't a legalistic thing, amen? Because most people think everything that is a conviction, a personal conviction, is legalistic. Well, let me tell you something. Whenever you get right with God, God will begin to talk to your heart, and you will align your life with the Word of God. You won't want to straddle the fence. You'll want to be separated from the world. Loose living is not going to enter in. Let me ask you, why would we want to be on the fence? Why would we want to ride the line? You're talking about eternity. Paul said, this one thing I do. I don't look behind me, but I forget what's there. I'm looking and pressing towards the finish line. Paul said, in essence, I refuse to get distracted. Does anyone remember what happened in Genesis chapter 19 whenever Lot's wife looked behind her? You remember? God sent an angel to Lot's house, because the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, that city, were so wicked. The cry went up to God, the wickedness of that city. Ezekiel names their sin. It was pride, fullness of bread, idleness of time. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Ezekiel says that God said, therefore I took them away as I saw good. God killed them all as he saw good. Let's just say it like it really is. God sent fire and brimstone out of heaven and killed every one of them as he saw good. And then we see in the story, Genesis 19, God sends two angels to show his mercy to a righteous man by the name of Lot. He comes to us as the angels enter into the city. We know the story. The Sodomites in that city saw those two angels, and the Bible said they desired them. So they watched the two men come to Lot's house, knock on the door, and enter into the door. All of a sudden, there was a crowd, a group of homosexual men that wanted to tear down that door, and they wanted to know those two angels. You remember the story. They had to smite them with blindness because they groped. Even in their blindness, the Bible says the Sodomites groped for the door, driven by the power of lust, demons. I'm telling you, Jesus says, as it were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the last days before the Son of Man comes back. You think it was bad then? Listen, it's going to be unprecedented in the very next few years to come. We have seen things in the last decade we never dreamed we'd see in our lifetime. You wait for five more years, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to see things that are right out of the Word of God. They groped in their blindness to see those two men, to have them. The Bible said that they ended up warning Lot to get out quickly and his family. You see them leaving. But God made very strict instructions for them not to look back whenever they left. If they looked back, they would lose their life. They warned them. But there was just something about that city. There was just something about that life that was exciting. There was something that was in the heart of Lot's wife that she could not relieve. She could not let go of. There was something about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, there's something about our life here in East Texas or wherever you are. We just love life so much. Oh, I didn't say that you're in sin. I didn't say that you're heading for hell. But we just love life so much. We don't want to leave it. We want to better it all the time. Oh, and the Bible said that while they were leaving, she was almost home free, but she couldn't help it. She turned around for just one more look. She turned around, and the Bible said she turned into a pillar of salt. God destroyed her. Do you hear me today? I said God destroyed her because she looked back. The Bible said she turned around. Come on, church. Too many of us are turning around. We're taking a glimpse. We're wondering what it was like or what it would be like. We've allowed things that people have done to us to cause us to contemplate going in that world. Are you out of your ever-loving mind? Listen, that world has nothing for us. We're real close, ladies and gentlemen, to seeing the lights of the city of God, where the Lamb of God is the light of heaven. I'm telling you today, don't you dare look back like Lot's wife did. You hold on to God's unchanging hand. We're almost there, church. Oh, I said we're almost there. I love that song, Salt Pillar. Salt Pillar. I'm going to read some of the lyrics. The song is about Lot's wife as she looked back, and then it brings into play a modern person, how they are walking with God, but there's something pulling at them. The angel said, hurry. The Lord will judge our city. There's safety in the mountains, so let's head for higher ground. Let's run hand in hand. We cannot look behind us. Then all at once it happened, and I knew she turned around. Seemed I heard her saying, run on. The song is almost as if when Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt, she was saying, Lot, run on. Don't look behind you. Don't look behind you. There's nothing left behind you. Those old friends were shouting, be strong, don't ever slow down. It's ringing in my ears, her silent testimony. As I look ahead, I can see a host of people. He talks about a great cloud of witnesses, and he talks about running the race. Like Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul said is, I'm not going to look behind me. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot look behind you. You've got to get a made up mind. It was Jesus himself in Luke 17, verse 32. Who says this? Remember Lot's wife. That's all he says. He's dealing with the end times, and he says, remember Lot's wife. In essence, he's saying, she looked back. She wasn't driven by eternity. She wanted this world. Therefore, I didn't want her. Are you with me today? Luke 9 and 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at my house. And Jesus said to them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now listen, some of you may think I'm a little harsh. My preaching's a little firm. Now, you probably don't if you attend the church. But there are people out there that say, well, Brother Matt, he's a straight shooter. He might be a little harsh. Well, why don't you go back and read this text, ladies and gentlemen. This man just said, please, Jesus, let me go bury my father. And here's the response of Jesus. You let somebody else go bury your father. We've got more important things to do. Oh, come on, church. I'm telling you, there's a difference in the temporal, and it doesn't mean you can't go bury your father. But the point is, Jesus had something to do, and he was driven by eternity. Oh, come on. If you put your hand to the plow, he says, and look back, I don't want you. You're not worthy of the kingdom. This is the words of Jesus, the loving Savior who died upon the cross, who died for all of men's sins and transgression. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back and you think about that world, you want that world, he says, I don't want you. You're not worthy of me. Oh, listen, I didn't want Lot's wife because she looked back, and if you look back, I don't want you. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, because she started to run, but she wanted the old life too much. She loved that city. We all want to go to heaven, but we just don't want to go today. Paul was not caught up with the temporal. He was driven by eternity. I used this illustration several years ago, and I'm going to use it again this morning. Can I have my helpers? There's no way that we can really understand eternity. Our minds cannot even begin to conceive eternity. We can think about it. We can try. We can use different illustrations. This is just one illustration typifying eternity today. I want you to pretend that this rope goes on forever and ever and ever. Now, this rope is only 50 feet long. But I want you to pretend that it never ends. That it can wrap around the earth 100 times and then it keeps going. Now, this 50-foot rope is typifying eternity. Now, just for a moment, I want you to also imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. This is your life. This is a timeline. Now, 50-foot, but this is really an eternal rope, because we're all going to live throughout the eons of time. We all know we're going to live forever. The moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb, you couldn't die if you wanted to die. You're going to live forever and ever and ever. That's why whenever people commit suicide to end the pain in their life, they don't understand. They just entered into a lifetime of pain that never, ever ends. Ladies and gentlemen, eternity's a long, long time. And every one of us are going to enter into eternity. But the part over where Brother Jose is holding, I've got a red area that's about 4 inches long. Everybody see that red area? That red area typifies your life on earth. I want you to look at this. Your life on earth. If we live to be 70 years of age, there it is right there. Let's just call this 80 years of age. Let's call this red part 80 years of age. Now, at the beginning, you're born, you're conceived in your mother's womb. You start walking. You're still at the very beginning here. Life is so good. God is so good. I thank God for life. But then you grow and you're moving on down the red area. You're moving on down and you're so excited. You're in high school right here. You're in the 10th grade, about an inch into this. Life is so good. You got everything to look forward to. Some people don't make it past high school. They die. They die. Young people think that they're going to live forever and ever and ever. You could be going through the red light right here in Gresham today and die. We are not promised tomorrow. And then you go into other areas of your life. You graduate. You get a job. You get married. There's nothing wrong with these things. We're to occupy until God comes. And then we work and we work. We get a job and then we go to another job. And we want to get that job that we're going to stay at until we retire. Isn't that wonderful? We work and we work and we work and we work. And then right here at the very end, we work extra. Sometimes twice as much, saving money, saving money, saving money, so we'll have a better life right here at the end. Isn't that foolish? I want you to think about it. This represents your life on earth, and this represents eternity, but it must go on without end. We are so blind. We are so blind because we focus everything on the red part and we completely ignore the rest of the timeline. Listen to me today. I want to be possessed by God's Holy Ghost and I want to be driven by eternity. If you were to meet Paul today, Paul would have been halfway crazy in our minds because he was a madman. He had his mind and his eyes fixed on the prize. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a prize. There is a mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do not be deceived about the red part. That red part is a few short years on earth. It's a few short years. A short time. What if we live to be 70 years old? Well, Psalms 90 and 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is our strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I think about this, about people who focus so much on this red part. We get angry. We get upset. We let things pull us away from God, out of the church, away from our family. Come on, church. And we fail to look at the big picture here. Listen, we can become so blind. The craziest part about it is our focal point is the red part. We want to save, save, save. We want to build this kingdom for ourselves. Souls are perishing every single day. Yes, that's what some of us think about all the time is the red part. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work, work, work. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to build a bigger house, get another car. Nothing wrong with a bigger house and another car. But we strive and we push to get more and more and more. You know, I've known of, I don't know of any multimillionaires in this church, so I'm not preaching to anybody here unless you're a multimillionaire. Multimillionaires in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that say they love God, that say that they care about missions, and they don't really, they just tip God when it comes to missions. They got millions and millions in the bank, and souls are perishing all over the world. They don't care. They're living for the red part. Listen, you can't spend millions and millions of dollars unless you go on a spending spree every single day. Amen? Am I preaching the truth? You know, I'm not against Dave Ramsey, but Dave Ramsey's worth about $300 million. Dave Ramsey has some good principles, but he says, live every day like nobody else, so later on, you can live like nobody else. You know what he's saying? He said, live on the low end, and that's a good principle. But what he's saying is, live cheap and don't do very much in your younger years, so in your golden years, you can live like a king. Think about the insanity of your golden years living like a king, because you're about to cross into eternity. Listen, I'm not trying to put guilt or shame on anyone for enjoying life, because this preacher, this man enjoys life. I enjoy my families. I enjoy going on vacations. I enjoy the blessings of God. But listen, I don't want to be driven by temporal things. I want to be driven by eternity. It's just around the corner for some of us in this house. Oh, how long is it, preacher? It is forever and ever and ever. I want you to look at the rope. 70, 70, 80 years. Let's count it down. Hold that, the end there. Let's call that 1,000 years. Let's move up. That's 1,000,000. That's 10 million years. 1 billion years. Trillion years, 10 trillion years, 100 trillion years, and it never ends. I heard one preacher say, you know, if hell was only 1 billion years, there would be hope inside the heart of the mind, the soul of a man, because although it's pain and torment for 1 billion years, the hope would be that someday it'll be over with and I can escape this. But there is no hope in hell. But listen, there's also a heaven to gain. And I can tell you, for the child of God, eternity in heaven will be worth it all. Why are we focusing so much on the red part? It's insanity. It's borderline insanity. I've done it and you've done it too. But I believe it's high time that you and I get our minds made up. We're going to begin to focus on the things that really, really matter. Think about how small our problems would be if we were driven by eternity. I counsel so many people that have problems with lustful sins. They say, I just can't stop. If you only knew how long eternity was. Preacher, I just can't lay aside some of the things that I love so much. Neither could Lot's wife, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Preacher, I just don't understand why I keep on struggling. I'll tell you why you keep struggling, because you haven't really got a revelation of what eternity is all about. God sent his son because he loved men so much, and we've got to receive the blessing and the free gift of salvation. Well, my parents and my pastor hurt me. I'm just going to get out of church. I'm done with these hypocrites. I'll have a little fun in the world just for a little while. Are you out of your mind? Really? Well, I'll just dabble a little bit. Are you crazy? Are you insane? It is not worth it. Oh, listen to me today. It's foolish to focus on the red part and ignore the rest of the rope. You will understand. You will never understand fasting, tithing, sacrificing, loving your neighbor, giving on the mission field, turning from sin. You'll never understand these things. They'll never make sense to you until you have a fresh revelation of what eternity is all about. Can someone come to the piano? It'll never make sense. Why the big fuss? Why do I hate the doctrine of unconditional eternal security so much? Because first of all, it's not biblical. And why would I adopt that false teaching? I'm not saying Baptists are going to hell. I know some Baptist folks that are, I believe, are really genuinely saved on their way to heaven. But why would I risk my eternal soul? My. It makes me mad when I hear preaching and teaching that would put a stamp of approval. Well, you can't lose out with God because once you get it, you can't lose it. Find that in the Word of God. It's not in the Word of God. I'm telling you, church, I don't want to gamble with my eternal soul. There are things that I won't do that other people do. I'm not talking about sinful things, but things that can hurt my physical person that I won't do because I'm not going to gamble. What about this? Your best life now. You can live your best life right now. People who live their best life now are going to hell. Jesus said, if any man seeks to save his life, he will lose his life. But if you lose your life for the gospel's sake, you will find your life. Are you with me? Any man who seeks to save his life will lose his life. But any man who loses his life for the gospel's sake will save his life. I know this is intense preaching, but it's eternal preaching. We have played games too long, ladies and gentlemen. Can we stand? I look at the way people live and they say, well, another time, another place. I'll get it right some other time. My response is, are you out of your mind? Really? You'll do it another time? Because if you mess up over there in the red part and you die, or the Holy Ghost stops dealing with your heart, you're finished for all eternity. It costs too much to be out of the will of God. You say, I'll get right someday. I'll do right someday. Well, I just don't believe that's wrong. I just don't believe God would send me to hell for that sin. Are you willing to risk your eternal destiny on that principle? Not me. I'm not that big of a risk taker. Well, I just don't believe like that. Oh, really? Have you searched the book? Have you searched the scriptures? Do you know what God says about it? Because we have made this Christian America has made a Christianity that does not align with the Word of God. Because somebody told us this repetitionally over and over again. We believe. We believe it. 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 So I'm going to be happy, preacher. God wants me to be happy. Really? Where's that at in the Bible? God doesn't want you to be happy. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Whenever you get it right with Him, you will be happy. But happiness always depends on circumstances. Joy is there despite circumstances. A 50-foot rope, 4 inches, 5 inches, depicting our life 70 years on this earth, 80 years. Look at this. Is it really something you want to risk? I close with this. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't look behind me. Don't worry about those old things. I was a bad sinner, guys. I was a wicked sinner. But I don't even think about that anymore. Whenever people that knew me before tell me what I used to be, I'm like, really? I did that stuff? I don't have amnesia when it comes to everything. But most of that stuff, I very seldom ever let it cross my mind. In a testimony, I'll just brief the main points and tell how God saved me and where He's brought me from. But I forget all those things. I've learned to repent and move on. Repent and move on. Don't let it pull you down into a mire where you can't repent and get it right with God. I tell people all the time that just says, Brother Matt, I think I've gone too far. I said, no, you don't. If you're worried about it, automatically you haven't. If you're worried that you've gone too far, then you haven't gone too far. God's merciful. He's kind. Repent. Run the race. Press. Become single-minded. Ask God to help you see everything, everything in the light of eternity. I want to have more of a mindset than I've ever had before, but I'll just tell you, my mind's constantly thinking on eternity. Constantly. With this church, everything that we do, with my family, I'm always thinking several steps ahead. I'm looking at the big picture of eternity. How's this going to affect eternity? How's this going to affect eternity? Hey, if this happens, the domino effect, God, show me what I need to do. What do I need to do? Where are you at? My question to you before we come to these altars is, what's driving you? What's driving you? Is it a passion to do something that you know is not right? Because it's something that deep down in the crevice of your heart, you want it so bad. Look at me. It's not worth it. Thank you, men. It's not worth it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Maybe there's someone here in this service today. You say, Brother Matt, I'm lost, I'm away from God, and I want to come back to God. I want you to pray with me. I want you to raise your hand high. You're in this house, God sees these hands. Anyone else in this house? You say, I'm away from God, I'm a sinner, I want to come home. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to give you another altar call. And that is this. You may say this morning, Brother Matt, I love God. I feel like I'm saved on my way to heaven. But I've allowed things to captivate my mind. I may have 5 years left and I don't even know it. I may have 2 years left. I may have 15 years. And I'm acting like it's the rest of the life. I'm acting like it's the most important focal point. I'm focusing on getting everything set up so I can take care of the grandbabies. I'm wanting to get into retirement so I can be free to do what I want to do. Think about what you just said. To do what I want to do. It's possible you miss out on the most important thing, and that is the final decision when you pass from this life. I want everyone that can to come find a place to kneel around these altars and ask the Lord to help us. Ask Him to help us to be driven by eternity. Everything we do matters, church. Everything we do matters. Everything we do matters. Life is choice after choice after choice after choice, and they become a domino effect of other choices.
Stay. Oh, I'm keeping my land. my fire burning by, so I can leave this old world. I know Jesus can come tonight. I don't wanna be left behind in this old sinful place. That's why.